You know, when you asked to dive deeper into osteoporosis and menopause, it was the stories that got me. Like you hear about someone with a seemingly minor fall, and then bam, it's a life-altering fracture. It made me think, this silent disease, we need to get loud about it, you know? So we're using this WebMD article to, well, unpack all of this, especially that connection between menopause and bone health.
It is called the silent disease for a reason. You often don't know you have it until, well, something breaks.
Exactly. And that's what's so scary about it. But okay, before we get ahead of ourselves, let's back up a sec. What is osteoporosis, for those of you who might not know?
Okay, so picture this. Your bones, they're not just static structures, right? They're constantly like a bustling city. There's construction going on, demolition.
That analogy.
So you've got these cells called osteoblasts. They're the builders laying down new bone tissue. And then you've got the osteoclasts, which are kind of like the demolition crews breaking down old bone.
So up until we're about 30, it's like a boom town, right?
Right.
Lots of building going on.
Yeah, you're growing. That building outpaces the breaking down.
But then, uh-oh, things shift.
Yeah, around 30, the demolition crew, they get a little too efficient.
Okay, so it's like the city planners aren't keeping up with the permits anymore. And osteoporosis is when what the demolition really gets ahead of the construction.
Exactly. You lose bone mass, it reaches a certain point, and your bones, well, they become porous, weak, just like, a building with crumbling infrastructure.
That makes sense. And so it happens gradually, often without us knowing. And this is where menopause comes in.
Right, big time.
Because,
Well, during menopause, estrogen, it declines.
yeah.
And this hormone is, it's essential for bone health. Estrogen helps regulate, those osteoblasts, those osteoclasts, keeps them in check.
So it's like, what, estrogen's the city inspector making sure the building codes are being followed?
It's a good way to put it. So when estrogen drops, the balance tips, and that demolition crew, well, they get a bit overzealous, you could say.
Gotcha. So if estrogen declines rapidly, like if menopause starts early, say before 45,
Uh-oh. That definitely increases the risk of osteoporosis.
and also just to clarify, even outside of menopause, if a woman has those prolonged periods without menstruation.
Right, that can be a risk factor too. Less estrogen, more risk.
Okay, so age, hormones, those are key players. But are some people, I don't know, just more predisposed to this than others?
Well, genetics plays a big role. Family history, it's a big one. Your mom, your grandma, if they had osteoporosis, it raises your risk.
So family history, definitely something to keep in mind. What about ethnicity? Does that factor in at all?
It does. Studies show that Caucasian women, Asian women, they're at higher risk than others.
Interesting. And I'm guessing bone structure matters too, right? Like petite women, they just have less bone mass to begin with.
You got it. They're starting with a smaller safety net.
So knowing the risk factors, that's important. But I think a lot of people are probably wondering, okay, well, what can I actually do about it? Like, how is osteoporosis diagnosed?
So the gold standard, it's called a bone mineral density test, BMD
No
test.
pantalla.
Simple X-ray measures, how much calcium, other minerals are packed into your bones. Think of it as a bone strength assessment.
So it compares your bone density to like healthy averages for your age.
Exactly. Age and gender, yeah.
Okay. So the WebMD article says women 65 and older should get this test. But what about younger women? Should they be thinking about this too?
Absolutely. If you've got any of those risk factors we talked about, like early menopause, family history, certain medical conditions, definitely talk to your doctor. Early detection, it's key.
So be proactive, have the conversation, even if you're not 65 yet. Got it. Now, let's say someone gets diagnosed. What happens next? What are the treatment options?
Well, good news is there's a lot we can do. Medications, they're often a key part of the plan. Bisphosphonates, they're commonly prescribed. They work by slowing down that bone breakdown process.
So they're kind of like what putting the brakes on that overzealous demolition crew we talked about.
Exactly.
Are there other medications that might be used?
Yeah, there are. Depends on your needs. Your doctor might prescribe raloxifene. It has estrogen-like effects on bone. Or there's denosumab. That one targets a specific protein involved in bone breakdown.
Gotcha. So there's a range of options tailored to the individual.
Right.
Now, we can't talk about menopause and bone health without mentioning hormone therapy, right?
Absolutely not. It's a common question.
And for good reason. I mean, it makes sense, right? If estrogen plays such a big role.
Right. So hormone therapy, specifically estrogen therapy, can help. It slows bone loss, reduces fracture risk in women going through menopause. But, and this is important, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. There are potential risks and benefits to consider.
The WebMD article specifically mentions that the FDA doesn't recommend hormone therapy just for osteoporosis prevention.
Right. It's a complex decision, something to discuss with your doctor, weigh your individual risk factors and all that.
So it's not a decision to be made lightly, for sure. But beyond medication, there are other things that can make a difference, right? Like lifestyle changes.
Oh, absolutely. Huge. A healthy diet, it's crucial. Rich in calcium, vitamin D, the building blocks for strong bones.
Calcium, we've all heard that. But not everyone loves dairy products, and some people are lactose intolerant, like you.
Yep, guilty as charged.
So what are good calcium sources if dairy's off the table?
Well, leafy green veggies like kale, collard greens, they're packed with calcium, and fortified foods like some cereals and plant-based milks. Oh, and don't forget about canned fish with bones. Salmon, sardines, surprisingly high in calcium.
Good to know. And if you're enjoying that salmon, you're getting a dose of vitamin D, too. What if you're not a big fish eater? What are some other ways to get enough vitamin D?
Well, sunlight's the best natural source, so a little sunshine each day helps, but be mindful of sun protection, of course. And then there are always supplements.
Okay, so sunshine supplements and a delicious salmon dinner. Now, alongside diet, I'm guessing exercise is important.
Oh, huge. Weight-bearing exercises. Those are key.
Weight-bearing. That's where your bones and muscles are working against gravity.
Right.
Exactly. It's like giving your building crew a good workout.
So walking, jogging, dancing, things like that. Even something low impact, like brisk walking, is that beneficial?
Absolutely. Even moderate intensity weight-bearing exercise can make a difference. And as you get stronger, you can gradually up the intensity and duration.
So find an activity you enjoy and stick with it. Before we move on, I want to emphasize something really important for everyone listening.
Go for it.
This whole prevention thing, it's not just for those who've already been diagnosed. It's for everyone. You don't have to wait till you're worried about bone loss to start taking care of your bone health.
Couldn't agree more. The choices we make today, they affect our bone health down the road.
Exactly. Building that strong foundation now to prevent problems later. So even if you're young, feeling invincible, take note these lifestyle choices matter. All right, we've covered a lot in this first part.
We have.
Any other crucial points about osteoporosis and menopause we should touch on?
You know, the WebMD article focuses on women's health, which makes sense in this context. But it's important to remember that men are not immune to osteoporosis.
Really? I didn't realize men were at risk too.
Oh yeah. Men over 50 especially, they have a significant risk. And it's often underdiagnosed, undertreated.
So while we're talking about menopause, it's clear that bone health is something everyone needs to be thinking about as they age.
Absolutely. Open conversations with your doctor, regardless of your gender, are so important.
So true. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. We've got the basics down, the risk factors, the importance of early detection. Now let's talk about what it means to actually live with osteoporosis. What are the practical things someone can do to manage the condition and minimize their risk of fractures? We'll be discussing that and more when we come back in just a moment.
Welcome back. You know, going through this WebMD article, the thing that really struck me was the emphasis on fall prevention. It seems, I don't know, kind of basic.
Right, like common sense.
Yeah, but when you have osteoporosis, preventing falls becomes like priority number one, you know?
It's like suddenly the ground is lava.
Haha. Yeah.
You mentioned the article had some practical tips. What stood out to you?
Well, it starts with looking at your surroundings. Really look, you know, think about everyday obstacles, things we just don't even notice. Clutter, loose rugs, electrical cords.
Right. Those things can trip anyone up.
But when you have osteoporosis, those everyday hazards, they can be, well, a lot more serious.
Like a home safety audit, but specifically for bone vulnerability.
Yeah, good way to put it. And the article goes beyond just, you know, decluttering. It suggests things like grab bars in bathrooms.
Especially in the tub or shower, right?
Exactly, where it can get slippery.
Yeah, those grab bars can provide extra support, you know, help prevent a slip from turning into a fall.
That's the idea. And along those lines, good lighting, it's crucial.
It's amazing how much of a difference good lighting makes. I remember visiting my aunt after she had a fall, and her hallway was so dim. It made me realize, wow, lighting is not just about aesthetics, it's a safety issue, especially as we get older.
Right. It's like when you're fumbling for a light switch in the dark, suddenly you're hyper aware of every obstacle.
Exactly. So good lighting in hallways, stairways, even outdoors can really reduce that risk of tripping.
Absolutely. And what about rugs?
Yes. The trusty area rug. So cozy, so treacherous.
Especially the ones with, you know, curled edges or loose fibers.
Yeah, those are accidents waiting to happen.
The article suggests securing them with non-slip pads or that double-sided tape.
Simple fixes can make a big difference.
And if you're really concerned, just get rid of rugs altogether, at least in high traffic areas.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. But, you know, it's not just about the physical environment, right? I mean, getting a diagnosis of osteoporosis, that can have a real emotional impact, too.
Absolutely. It's not just about the bones. It can be, I don't know, scary, right?
Yeah, definitely. It can bring up a lot of emotions. Fear, anxiety, vulnerability.
It can feel like a loss of control. Your body's changing, and maybe you're not quite ready for it.
I think it's so important to acknowledge those feelings. Let yourself process them, you know? Don't bottle it up.
Talk to someone you trust. A friend, family member, therapist. It can really help.
Even just knowing you're not alone in this.
Yeah, there are online communities, support groups specifically for people with osteoporosis.
That peer support can be so valuable, especially when you're figuring out what this diagnosis means for your life.
It's about building a network of support, both emotional and practical. And it's important to remember, osteoporosis, it's manageable. It doesn't have to define you, limit your life.
I love that message. It's about taking control, focusing on what you can do, rather than dwelling on the limitations.
Exactly. With the right treatment, lifestyle changes, a positive mindset, you can still lead a fulfilling, active life.
And speaking of an active life, let's circle back to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about strong bones, right? It also improves strength, balance, coordination, all of which can help prevent falls.
You got it. It's like a multi-pronged approach to staying healthy and active. And weight-bearing exercise, it's like the star player.
Remind us again, what are some examples of weight-bearing exercises?
Okay, so think of activities where your body is working against gravity. Walking, jogging, dancing, stair climbing, even things like tennis, hiking.
What about gardening? Would that count?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of bending, lifting, moving around. Plus, you get fresh air, maybe some delicious veggies.
It's about incorporating movement into your daily life, even if it's not a formal workout.
Exactly.
But for someone who's new to exercise or has physical limitations, what would you recommend?
Start slowly, gradually, increase the intensity, the duration, and talk to your doctor, a physical therapist. They can help you create a plan that's safe and effective for you.
That personalized guidance is so important, especially if you're dealing with any other health issues.
Yeah, definitely. No need to overdo it. Just find that sweet spot where you're challenging yourself, but not overdoing it.
Now, we've talked about calcium, but are there other dietary things to keep in mind for people with osteoporosis?
Well, a balanced diet is important for overall health, but in terms of bones, protein, it's also crucial for bone formation.
Okay, so it's not just about calcium. What are some good sources of protein for bone health?
Lean meats, poultry, fish, beans, lentils, nuts, those are all good sources. And if you're vegetarian or vegan, tofu, tempeh, quinoa, those are great plant-based options.
So many delicious choices. It's not just about deprivation, right? You can still enjoy a variety of foods while taking care of your bones.
Right. And, you know, while we're on the topic of diet and exercise, I think it's important to talk about other lifestyle choices, too. Some habits can really hinder bone health.
Yeah, it's not just about what you do. It's about what you don't do as well.
Exactly. So smoking, it's a big one.
We all know it's bad for your lungs, your heart.
But it's also terrible for your bones. It messes with calcium absorption and actually speeds up bone loss.
Wow. I didn't realize it was that direct. So quitting smoking, that's a huge win for your bones.
Huge. What about alcohol?
Yes. Alcohol. Does that affect bone health too?
It does. Too much alcohol, it can interfere with bone formation, and it increases your risk of falls. Not a good combination for your bones.
So moderation is key, I guess. Enjoy a glass of wine, but don't overdo it.
Exactly. It's about balance.
Balance is always a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered a lot in this second part. Fall prevention, the emotional side of osteoporosis, the importance of exercise, a balanced diet, and even the bad habits to avoid. Before we move on to our final part, anything else we should touch on?
You know, the WebMD article is a fantastic resource, but I think it's important to remind everyone it's not a substitute for medical advice from your own doctor.
Bo, important. The information we're sharing here, it's for general knowledge for educational purposes.
Right. It's not meant to replace the expertise of a healthcare professional.
You get everyone's different, right?
Exactly. What works for one person might not work for another. So if you're concerned about your bone health or having symptoms, talk to your doctor. They can assess your risk, recommend tests, and personalize a treatment plan for you.
And remember, early detection and intervention are key with osteoporosis. The sooner you address any potential issues, the better.
Couldn't agree more.
So if you're listening and you have questions, concerns, don't hesitate to reach out to your doctor. They're your best resource.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, right? The more you know, the more you can take control of your health.
Well said. All right, we're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back to wrap up our deep dive into osteoporosis and menopause. We're back, wrapping up our deep dive into osteoporosis and menopause. You know, it's funny. We've talked about all these things you can do to help your bones, but I think sometimes it's easy to forget osteoporosis. It's called a silent disease for a reason.
Right. You might not even know you have it until a bone breaks.
Exactly. Which is why early detection, prevention, it's just so crucial. It really makes you think about bone health as like a lifelong thing.
It is. It is. Especially for women, knowing your family history, understanding those hormonal changes during menopause, it all matters.
Mm. And if you have any of those risk factors we talked about, family history, early menopause, those sorts of things.
Right, or certain medical conditions.
It's worth having that conversation with your doctor about a bone density test, even if you're not 65 yet.
Definitely. Better safe than sorry.
Exactly. Catching it early gives you more options.
It does. It does. And even if you've been diagnosed, you're on medication, it's not like you can just forget about it, right?
Right. Ongoing monitoring, it's important.
It is. Osteoporosis, it's a chronic condition, so it's about working with your doctor, making sure your treatment plan is up to date, all that.
So it's not just a one-time thing. It's a process.
It is. And those healthy habits we talked about, diet, exercise, not smoking, those aren't one-time fixes either.
Right. They're like lifestyle changes, things you got to keep up with.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about supporting your bone health long term.
Making it part of your routine. You know, we've been focusing on women and menopause, but it's important to remember, bone health, it's important for everyone, no matter your age or gender.
Couldn't agree more. Starting early, that's key. You know, parents out there, make sure your kids are getting enough calcium, vitamin D, encourage them to be active, help them understand that taking care of their bones now, it'll benefit them later.
It's about building a strong foundation.
All right.
Setting them up for success.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And even if you're older and you haven't always been, you know, super focused on bone health, it's never too late to start.
That's good to hear. Never too late.
Never too late. Every step towards a healthier lifestyle, it makes a difference.
It's all about taking ownership of your health, wherever you are in life.
Well said. Well said. And remember, knowledge is power. The more you know about osteoporosis, the better equipped you are to make good decisions.
All right. Well, I think we've really covered it all. The menopause connection, risk factors, early detection, treatment, lifestyle changes. We even touched on the emotional side of things.
We did. We did. Hopefully this deep dive has been informative, you know, and given you some things to think about.
I think so, too. Before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with one final thought. Your bones, they're pretty amazing. They support you. They protect you. They let you move through the world. They're worth taking care of, right?
They are.
So be proactive. Talk to your doctor. Make those healthy choices. And remember, you have the power to keep your bones strong and healthy for years to come.
That's a perfect way to end our discussion. Remember, knowledge is power. Take charge of your health and live a longer, healthier, more fulfilling life.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into osteoporosis and menopause. We hope you found it helpful, and we'll see you next time.